Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014, and it's overcast and wintry here in Florida, Clearwater, Florida, and I just love it when it's that way. We have so much summer here when it starts being winter, and it just is feeling all, it's December now, and it feels like the holidays are coming on, and I just love this time of year. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about something that I think is going to interest almost all of you who are listening, because we're going to talk about indoor air quality and a new air filtration or purification, I should say, technology that removes 99% of all types of pollutants from indoor air. I'll say that again because it's so astonishing. This new air filtration technology removes 99.9% of all types of pollutants from indoor air. And we're going to find out how that does that. I've been using this air purification unit for about a month, and it's unlike any other I've ever seen in the past 30 years. And I just, as far as I'm concerned, everything else is obsolete when it comes to home air purification. And you'll find out why today. My guest is Ryan Hamshaw. He's the Chief Operating Officer of AirStar Partners, and he directs the sales of the O2 air purifier. If you want to find out more about it, if you can hardly wait, just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and scroll down the page and see today's show. And at the end of the description of the show, you can click through and read about why I recommend this. And you can also click through and order it at any point in the show that you'd like to order it. There's a code there. You can get $50 off if you order it anytime between now and next Tuesday. And so if at any time when you're listening at this, what we're about to tell you, which is something you've never heard before, just feel free to go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and use that code to get a $50 off your purchase. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So tell us how you got interested in the whole subject of purifying air.
You know, I've always been involved in really helping develop companies and bringing product, quality product to market. And I was approached actually by a group that had interest in this air purification technology that existed in industrial and medical facilities really since 1979. And their desire was to bring that same technology to market in the residential arena. And so that was my task, to take these larger industrial units, to scale them down and really put a user-friendly interface with the unit itself, so that we could bring the most powerful air purification technology to the consumer.
And you've certainly done that. So tell us how the technology was originally developed.
It wasn't intended for air purification. The inventor was actually working for a very large university and received a grant to come up with the world's most efficient enzyme.
So wait, before you go on, we should probably just say, you know, this, nothing is linear. It's always difficult to decide what to say first. But since you're going to tell us a story about the enzyme part of it, I just want to say that part of the technology, and we'll explain the whole thing by the time we get through the show today, but part of the technology is that instead of filtering out air pollutants like units have done in the past, what this unit does is collect the pollutants in a unique way we'll talk about later, and puts them in a holding area of water. And in that water are enzymes and microorganisms that break down the pollutants entirely into their just the basic elements of life. And in this way, they just like disappear that you don't end up with like a cartridge full of toxic stuff. They just disappear. And so Ryan's now going to tell us the story of how that came to be.
Absolutely. So, you know, going back to the enzyme, it's actually a consortium of enzymes. So he was, the inventor was given a grant to come up with the world's most efficient enzyme. And this enzyme itself is 95% efficient, which means it actually will digest and destroy 95% of anything that it comes in contact with. It's completely organic. And then he started to study what the enzymatic solution could be used for. And together with some patented hardware, the enzyme itself is proprietary, but together with some patented hardware, he put this enzymatic solution in a water-based filtration device. And the reason that's important, we'll explain in just a bit in terms of how the unit functions. And he realized that through a two-part process, figuring out how pollutants move and how to attract them, and then to get them to a device that houses this organic enzyme, it would, in essence, digest anything that it came in contact with. So he figured if he can put these two together, he could come up with really the most powerful and most efficient as well as sustainable air purification device.
And that's what you've done. And I will just say from my viewpoint and my experience, having looked at air filters and devices for the past 30 years, that this is the most, it is the most powerful device that I've ever seen. And it addresses all the air pollutants. Let's just back up for a minute and talk about the air pollutants. One more thing I just want to say about enzymes, because I want to make sure that we don't forget this. You, Ryan and I talked before the show, and he told me about how the enzyme, what happens during an enzyme process. Could you explain about how the enzyme breaks down?
Yeah, absolutely. The enzymes exist. We're all familiar with certain types of enzymes. But one thing that's really interesting and what makes our enzyme very, very unique is most enzymes are what are called oleophorum, okay? That means oil-eating. So an enzyme is created to do one thing, to destroy anything that is oil-based. Interestingly, though, in that exchange, the enzyme and the pollutant, which in that case is oil, and oxygen is used in the process, come together, and they are all three destroyed. We have come up with a way to immobilize our enzyme so that it resides within the O2 air purifier, and it can continue to destroy for up to 30 days. Now, the other thing that I'll say is it's universal. So it will actually destroy not only oil-based product, oil-based pollutants and things of that nature, but other types of pollutants as well. So rather than it just being oleophorum or oil-eating, it's actually universal.
That is just so interesting to me because I always think that nature, we can find in nature the solution to anything. And so here we have all these pollutants, some of them man-made, some of them natural, that are going around in our air. And the solution is to have enzymes eat them. And I just think that's great. I think it's wonderful. I also want to make sure that we talked about this because I know that some people have concerns that when enzymes are being used in products that they end up out in the environment. But in fact, what happens is that they are destroyed in the process of doing their enzymatic activity. And even at the end of the 30 days in your unit, they still are destroyed, yes?
Yes, they are. They are.
And that's why we have to keep adding more every 3 months or whatever. Anyway, we need to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this very interesting unit. And during the break, if you want to go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and click on the link to find out more about this unit, you can certainly do that. There's lots of good information, and a pretty interesting product. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd. And my guest today is Ryan Hamshow. He's the Chief Operating Officer of AirStyle Partners, and they sell the O2 air purifier, which is what we're talking about today, which has completely different technology. Now, before we go any further to explain the technology, I want to talk about air pollution, the air pollutants themselves, so that you'll understand the next key thing. So, Ryan, why don't you explain the three different types of indoor air pollutants?
Yeah, absolutely. There are three indoor air pollutants, as Deborah had mentioned. And I'll tell you what they are and examples of each of them. First of all, you have particulate matter. There are large particulates and there are small particulates. Large particulates would be something like smoke, smaller pet dander, dust, pollen. The second that you have is bacteria and viruses, which are very, very small as well. And, of course, those of us that have ever had a cold or the flu are very familiar with bacteria and viruses. And the third would be gaseous phase pollutants, anything that is in the form of a gas or a volatile organic compound. And those come from cleaning supplies, building materials. Carpet is a very good example of that. Carpet off gases, formaldehyde. So those are some examples, as well as the three types of indoor air pollutants that we experience in our home.
And that would also, some more gases would be things like off-gassing of plastics, any perfume. I was thinking about, you know, when I first started writing about toxic chemicals in the home, there was no such field as indoor air quality. And so we talked about these things, but now there's a whole field of indoor air quality. There are scientists who are addressing it. There are air measurements that are being taken. Indoor air quality is something like, if I'm remembering the numbers right, it's something like 100 times worse than outdoor air quality, because especially now in the wintertime, you've got all your doors and windows closed. There's less ventilation going on in the house. And if you've got any kind of toxic products in your home, then they're building up to higher and higher and higher levels. And this has been measured in an average American home that it's like 100 times worse than outside. And so so you really, I have always recommended that you need to be reducing those pollutants at the source. And that's been, that idea has been the basis of my work for the past 30 years. But here's the thing. I do everything that I can do to remove toxic chemicals, and I still can't remove them 100%. So, like, I'm sitting here in front of my computer, my 27-inch computer, and it's got fire retardants in it, and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't buy a computer that has no fire retardants. All I can do is lessen the amount of toxic chemicals as much as I can. But now with this new technology that we're talking about here, I've got this purifier going on in my home. And so whatever is coming off my computer, whatever's coming off my television, whatever a guest might track in on their shoes, whatever comes in through the window, all those things that I can't control all get handled by the filter. And so, so in the past, Ryan, tell us about the types of purification technology in the past and why this is so different.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few air purification technologies that we have talked about, and then there are variations of those very same technologies. So you have to be careful. But, you know, we talked about the three categories of air pollutants. But those can be divided a little bit further, and there are pollutants that can be moved with airflow, and there are pollutants that are not able to be moved with airflow. And that's really important to note, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But what's really important is to understand that all of the technologies I'm going to tell you about right now are based upon using air to draw the pollutant to a box with a particular type of filter media. And the first one, and it's one that we are all familiar with, is called HEPA. And basically, HEPA is about 80% of the market. HEPA is efficient with larger particulates, okay, 0.3 microns and greater. But anything smaller than that, it's really not effective with, because those smaller particulates cannot be moved with airflow. So it is the best that has been offered in the market to this point for particulates. Okay. The second technology that I want to talk about was really invented. It's an absorbent, and it was invented for absorbing gases. Okay, and that's called activated carbon charcoal. It's used in water filtration as well, and it actually absorbs the chemicals. Interestingly, activated carbon charcoal can only capture 20 to 30 of the thousands of VOCs or gases that we bring into our home each year.
Yes.
And that filter media, you know, sometimes you really don't know when to replace that filter media, and it can be very expensive. And then the third technology is UV or ultraviolet. And UV was created for bacteria destruction. And you'll see it. It's usually a blue lamp. And but still, viruses and bacteria are very, very small. And to draw them to that lamp is very challenging. So there are also questions about the residence time. For instance, how long does that bacteria or virus have to be exposed to that lamp before it's destroyed? How close do they have to come to the lamp if you can get them there? So as you can see, each of these technologies is good for a particular area, but it doesn't handle all types and sizes of pollutants. So what ended up happening is people said, well, each of these technologies is good for a particular type of pollutant, so why don't we marry them all together? And so they call these multi-stage filters. But again,
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you because we have to go to break. But when we come back, you can finish telling us about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And today my guest is Ryan Hamshaw. And we're talking about the amazing O2 air purifier that removes 99% of all air pollutants. And we'll hear more about how that actually does it after the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Ryan Hamshaw, and he's in charge of sales for the O2 air purifier, which has amazingly different technology that we're talking about today. I have some testimonials here from some people who have used the unit and have been very happy. I just want to read you a couple of these. Here's one that says, I couldn't be happier with the O2. Our son, who is 9, has had ongoing issues every spring with allergies and asthma that have required medication with a combination of antihistamines, asthma medications, and decongestants. And that combination still did not resolve the problem. We put an O2 in his bedroom this winter, and this is the first spring we did not have to put him on medications. And so that's one benefit. Another benefit is, here someone else wrote about how they put in an O2 for a wife's pulmonary issues like asthma. But another side benefit was that they have cats, and the litter box always had an odor, and now there's no odor in the house from the litter box. And another patient who was getting allergy shots put the O2 filter in her home. And when she came in for her allergy shot, she told the nurse that the O2 works so well that it will put the doctor out of business. I like that one. Not that doctors should be out of business, but that's how well it works. Now, it's hard for me to say that this has improved my respiratory problems, because I didn't have respiratory problems to begin with, and I live in a very non-toxic house. But removing toxic chemicals from your home doesn't remove particles. It doesn't remove bacteria and viruses. It doesn't remove a lot of things that can cause health problems. It doesn't remove mold. I've had mold problems in this house. So if you have, it removes so many things that what I like about it is that it doesn't matter what kind of air pollution problem you have in your home. It's going to take care of it. And you don't have to figure out what else to do, because it's just going to handle it. So Ryan, so we talked about the other types of air filters and the problems with them. Now explain to us what the O2 does to gather the pollutants in a unique way.
Yeah, it's really a two-part process. First, the key is getting the pollutant to the O2, okay, and then it is destroying it. So if I were to tell you that I could put a fan in the corner of the room and I could blow all the pollutants into the opposite corner of where the fan was, a lot of people really think that could really occur, and it actually cannot, because most pollutants, actually 90%, are so small that they cannot be manipulated by airflow. Their cross-section is just too small. So the question then becomes is, how do they move? Well, these pollutants are infinitely suspended, okay? And while they're suspended, just by the very fact that they're airborne, they're either positively or negatively charged. And the strongest way to attract those infinitely suspended pollutants is through creating something that is the most neutral item in the room. And that's what we've been able to do with the O2. It's grounded. It's neutral. And we've been able to magnify that grounded area through the water that is in the O2. And as such, we're able to forcefully dictate the movement of what would be infinitely suspended pollutants, positively and negatively charged, and draw them to that neutral zone that's created by the O2. So that's the first part of the process. And
so this is like, I just want to like just give a little illustration of this. Probably most people listening are familiar with that, having dust on their TV. It's like you turn on the TV and the dust just goes whoosh right over to the television, because it's that charge, that attraction of charge. And so having this unit in the room, it's the same kind of thing, where it's just like this huge attractor where all these particles and gases and viruses and all these pollutants are just making a beeline for this unit. And that's a very, very different action than having there be a fan that's blowing things around. And so it doesn't matter what it's made from or what the size is. It's all going to the unit.
That's right. That's a great illustration. And those are really, those are particles that we can see. And the particles, as well as the gases and viruses, bacteria, that are most harmful to our health are the ones that we cannot see, the ones that can't be moved by airflow. And so that is why that neutral zone that we create is so critically important in the process. So the second part is capturing the pollutants that we are able to draw to the O2. And I will tell you, the best filter media is water. And the reason water is so important as a filter media is because once you entrench a pollutant in water, it cannot escape. Some of the highest-end filters in the industrial arena have water curtains or water baths to really capture very, very fine mist, oil mist, things of that nature. So once the pollutant is entrenched in the water, it cannot escape. And so what we've been able to do then is circulate that water within the O2, create a lot more oxygen than normal water would have. As a matter of fact, it's 12 parts per million instead of 8. So it's not quite, 100% more. But so we have oxygen, a lot of it. We have the pollutant that's in the water, and we have the enzymatic solution that basically has immobilized itself on the walls inside of the O2, where the water that's carrying the pollutant and the oxygen cascades over those walls. And when the oxygen and pollutant come in contact with the enzyme, the oxygen is used and the pollutant is destroyed. But because I told you a little bit about the enzyme and how smart it was and the fact that it immobilizes itself, it will destroy pollutants for up to 30 days.
This is just so amazing to me. It's just, it's so well thought out. It's so different. And it's so, I mean, you don't have to, I'm looking at the clock. I have a very few seconds before we need to come up to break. So I don't want to start my next sentence. But anyway, so I'll start the break. So let's, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. And you, during the break, you could go to toxicfree.rit. I can't talk today. ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and find out more about this unit. There's a link there. Just look for the show. There's a link there. You can find out more information about the unit. You can go to the website and find out more. There's, if you go on the website, they have more information about the technology and the pollutants removed. And you can also get a discount if you buy it this week. You can get $50 off. It's very affordable anyway, but this makes it even more affordable. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Ryan Hamshaw, and we're talking about the new, it's not new so much as it's new to the consumer market. This is technology that's been used industrially and medically and now is available in a home use unit to remove 99.9% of all different kinds of pollutants from the air in your home or your office or whatever. So I wanted to talk about the experience of using the unit because it's been so different. The first thing is that it's very quiet. And so, wouldn't you say it's quiet, Ryan?
Yeah, it is. It's extremely quiet. And it uses a very low wattage. I think it's around 6 watts of power. So, very minimal.
Yeah, very, very low energy, very quiet. I know that I've had air filters in the past where it just made so much noise you can't sleep or anything. But I would say the amount of sound that comes off this unit is about, it's no more than comes off my computer. It's just kind of little white noise kind of sound. But most of the time I don't even notice it at all. I have to really listen for it. And another thing I like about it is that the unit itself has no odor at all. I checked it out. It is made from plastic. It's BPA free, very hard polycarbonate plastic. There's absolutely no odor to it all that I can smell, and it doesn't make the air smell like plastic or anything. I know that you've had some people use it who have multiple chemical sensitivities. Tell us about that.
Yeah, one particular customer had called me, and she really struggled. She was in the city, and she struggled with multiple chemical sensitivity disorder, and she was concerned that if the O2 had any odor whatsoever, it could make her feel sick. And what I told her is that I'd like her to try the unit, and that if it did have any negative impact on her multiple chemical sensitivity, that she could return it. And when she took it out of the box and began using it, she had no complaints whatsoever, was very pleased, and, that was, I think it was close to about, 2 years ago that she had purchased it. So she's very, very pleased with it. And so people that are very sensitive to odors, this is the air purifier that will pull those odors from the air and help those that are chemically sensitive to those odors.
Yeah, I really encourage. I know I've been around people with MCS for 3 decades, and myself recovered from that. That's how I got interested in toxic chemicals in the first place. And I know that this has been an ongoing struggle about how do you get clean air to breathe? I mean, you can go without food for, I don't know, how many days is it? And you can go without water. But how long can you go without breathing? You know, not even a minute. And so for people with MCS to get air they can actually breathe, this has been an ongoing thing about what are the best air filters, how can you remove the toxic chemicals, and people get air filters and they can't tolerate the air filters. And the whole idea about having to change the cartridges and stuff, it adds up to being very expensive. And I really encourage, if you have MCS, this is a filter to give a try to, because as I said, I've tried it. I've been running it in my own house for over a month. It has absolutely no odor that I can detect, and it may just be the solution for you to be removing whatever it is that's bothering you. And it doesn't matter what it, if it's a particulate or a chemical or whatever, if it's in the air, this is going to remove it 99.9%. So another aspect of it that I want to talk about is that it's really easy to maintain. You don't have to like unscrew it and replace the cartridges and things like that. So what happens is that when you get it, you need to put in, there's a little liquid called BioOx, which contains the microorganisms that digest the pollutants. And so you just pour it in every 3 months. That's all you have to do. And it even has a little measuring thing on the bottle. And you just measure it out and you put it in. And that's all you need to do. So, but beyond that, there is one thing that you just need to be aware of about this unit. And that is you do need to add water to it. And you need to add water to it on a regular basis. But it's, I think of it as a plant. It's, I have plants in my house. If you've ever had a plant... You know, you have to check it every once in a while and see if it needs some water. And it's no different than that. I don't find that it's inconvenient at all. Would you say that most people have no problem with this?
Yeah, they have very little problem with it whatsoever. And I will say this, because we destroy through the process of oxidation, as most of you are aware, oxidation produces some heat. And heat will evaporate that water. Upon initially putting the O2 into your home, it will use a little bit more water than when it balances out, and it has captured the pollutants and really kind of what I say caught up to the pollutants in your environment. So keep in mind that initially you're going to be using a little bit more water, but as the unit sits in the environment and works, it's what I call its magic, it will use less water. And for those of you that, you know, you put water in your coffee makers in the morning or whatever the case might be, or just drink a glass of water, you can put a glass in on a daily basis, or you can wait until it's empty and then refill the O2 at that point.
Yeah, it just, when it runs out of water, it doesn't burn up or anything like that. When it runs out of water, it just turns itself off. And so you might notice that you just don't hear it anymore. But I've also noticed that right before it runs out of water, it makes kind of a little bubbling sound, like a coffee percolator. And when I hear that little sound, I go, oh, I need to put water in it. And then I just run into the kitchen and get some water and put it in. It will hold up to, isn't it like a gallon of water? So
yeah,
it's not like you have to. Yeah. So you can put a lot of water in. And it's not something that you have to fuss with all the time. It's just something to be aware of. And, you know, this is, O2 calls it an organic air filter. And it's organic in the sense that organic, natural, alive organisms are in there doing its job. And so they need a drink. And so it is just like, having a plant, there's living processes going on inside, and they need to be given what it is that they need in order to do that. So anyway, I can't say enough good things about this filter. I just think, you know, there are just things that I think that everybody should have in our toxic world, and this is one of them. The other one is I think everybody needs a water filter. And I've never said before that I think everybody needs an air filter, because I just wasn't satisfied with the air filters that were available. But I would say I think everybody should have one of these in their home. So, Ryan, is there anything else that you'd like to say? We only just have a few minutes left. Is there anything we didn't cover you'd like to talk about?
Just a couple of items, you know, in regards to the O2 itself. It's a very intuitive product. It's very efficient. So really, you're not having some loud fan that's running constantly and impacting, obviously, your sleep and your energy bill. And so I get hundreds of testimonials. And I will tell you, I have never had allergies, never had asthma, anything of that nature. But when I first started working on this project, I did use one, and what was amazing to me is I used to wake up with just a little bit of stuffiness in the morning, and I don't have that experience anymore. And obviously those that are a lot more sensitive, that have allergies, that have asthma, that have multiple chemical sensitivity, that have, you know, really allergic issues that, you know, allergists and specialists can't really get to the bottom of. We have had a tremendous, tremendous amount of success. And a lot of people will write to me and tell me that they cannot live without their O2. And usually we'll end up purchasing a second unit after they've tested the first. So that's why we exist. We really want to be beneficial to the users of the O2, to really make a difference in their lives. Otherwise, you know what? You're just selling another gadget, and at the end of the day, it doesn't make a difference. So we've been very pleased with the performance, as well as the many others that have purchased.
Let me just ask you a quick question, as we only have about 45 seconds left. You mentioned getting a second unit once people see that it's used. How much area space? I have one for my whole house, but how many do you need to have for a whole house? And it's very portable. I mean, you can just take it from room to room.
Yeah, that's right. This is a key point. It covers 450 square feet. So if you can only afford one, put it in a place that you spend hopefully most of your time when you're at home, which is your bedroom. That will allow your immune system to kind of take a break. If you can purchase the second one, we recommend putting that in the living room / kitchen area to control the odors there.
That's the end of the show. Thank you so much, Ryan. So go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and get the link to go to the website, get your code so that you can get a discount, and breathe easier. Be well.